your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and your children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you.
That high, and we've decided to use a track.
Just carry on, even if you're not hitting the note, don't stop singing.
Just act lip sync.
Just carry on, because I'm singing it. If I can sing it, you can sing it. And I'm singing it.
Well, you're singing it. Amen.
We'll do it like that. Sing it in your rain.
Okay. Okay.
Whatever your range is, but carry on singing.
Carry on.
Even
carry
if
on.
It's not.
Carry on.
Calm down and carry on.
Calm down and carry on.
All right, we got, how are we
doing, 5 minutes.
We got 4 minutes. We got 4 minutes.
I'm like, I feel
We've got 1 minute. Musicians, we've got 1 minute, wherever they are. Dave, let Rick know. I don't know where he is. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. We're glad you're here today. We also want to welcome everyone who is watching us online today. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad that that you're joining us today. And I especially want to say shout out to all of our members at Ascend Church. We miss you. We can't wait to see you again. I want to encourage you today to worship the Lord with us. I want to read here Psalm 107. It says, "Let everyone give all their praise and thanks to the Lord." Let everyone give all their thanks and praise to the Lord. Here's why. He's better than anyone could ever imagine. Yes, he's always loving and kind, and his faithful love never ends. So go ahead. Let everyone know it. Tell the world how he broke through and delivered you from the power of darkness and gathered us together from all over the world. The Bible says that we should give thanks and praise to the Lord because he's better than anyone can ever imagine. He's always loving, he's always kind, and his faithful love endures forever. Aren't you glad about that? I want to encourage you today to worship with us wherever you may be. I know you're at home today, but you know, the Lord is with you right where you are, so worship him and don't get distracted today. I would encourage you to, you know, put every distraction aside. I know there can be a lot of distractions when you're at home. Put those aside and let's just give this next 90 minutes to getting into the presence of God, worshiping in him, hearing his word, having our faith built up today. I believe your faith is going to be built up to a new level today in the name of Jesus. So let's worship him today. How many of you know that he is still risen today? We sang last week, risen, he is risen. We're going to sing it again because he's still risen today. Come on, let's give him praise, everybody. Stand with us, sing with us today with all you got.
Hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh.
welcome. Welcome to Ascend Church. And everybody looks like they've socially distanced. And just praise and worship with us this morning. Sing out loud and just sing to the Lord. I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade, are never enough. Hang on, we gotta hold on just a minute. Are never enough. Then you came along and you put me back together. Desire is now satisfied here in your love. Come on, sing it. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. To show you my weakness, my failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. No, there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing, Lord, there's nothing, nothing. Turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes, shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. things into God. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. One who can. You're the only one who can. Amen. He is the only one who can. He's the only one that's going to cure everything, too, and bring us all back to Him. I believe that. I really do believe that. You hold my every moment. You calm my raging seas. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in you. I trust in you. I believe you're my if you believe this. And I believe you're more my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Amen. You hold my every moment. You calm my raging seas. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust is impossible.
Said, how many believe the Lord is your healer? That song is like a prayer that you pray. I'm telling you right now, I get down and yesterday I was just praying for you and I put that song on the healer and I just feel the presence of God, the anointing of God. I want to encourage you, we're going to pray today. Thank God that we serve the only living God. We serve the only true God. He's the only one who hears and who answers our prayers. He said, call on me and I will answer you. How many of you know there's power in prayer? I said, how many believe that there is power in prayer? And you know, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 18, it says, if any two of you on earth will agree about anything that they ask, it will be done for them by our Father in heaven. It says, if any two will agree. You see, there's something that happens when believers come together and they join their faith and they pray in unity. There's something powerful that happens because the scripture says, one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. In other words, the power of God is multiplied when believers join together in faith. And I want us to join our faith together. I want us to pray together. Amen. How many believe that God parted the Red Sea, God can stop the coronavirus? How many believe that? So, Father, we pray right now. We thank you that you are God of mercy. And, Lord, we ask you to have mercy on this nation, mercy on this world, Father. We pray, Lord, that let your healing power envelop this world. We speak to this coronavirus, this illness, this pandemic, and we command you to weaken. We command you to stop. We command you to dissipate in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for everyone who has been affected by this virus, and we pray that you would restore their health. We pray that you would preserve people's lives. We pray, Father, that you would give strength, that you would give peace, that you would help those, the doctors and the nurses, that you would strengthen them, that you would heal and restore people's health, that you would protect people. Father, we pray that you would provide for people. We look to you, Lord. We look to you. We know that there is nothing that is impossible for our God. All things are possible to him who believes. And we believe, Lord, that you are with us. And we believe that you are for us. And we believe that if God is for us, then what can stand against us in the name of Jesus? You agree with that today? Say amen if you do. Make this declaration with me. Psalm 91, say, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. He is my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. For he will rescue me from every trap, and he will protect me. Come on, say, he will protect me from every disease. Say, thank you, Lord, that you are my healer, that by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. That Jesus himself took my sickness and he took my disease so I don't have to have them. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed, that I'm healthy. Thank you for keeping me healthy, for keeping me strong. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. We're going to sing one last song and I want to encourage you to sing it with us. It's called The Blessing. And once again, it's almost like a prayer. It's like a declaration that you are declaring over yourself and over your family that the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. This is right out of the Bible. We're singing the scriptures today. I believe it's in Deuteronomy. And so I want to encourage you to sing with us. Don't listen to other people sing. Lift your voice and let God hear you. Give him praise and give him thanks. How many of you are thankful for Jesus today? Lord, we're thankful for you. It's all about you today. Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise today. Put your hands together.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Come on, sing it with us.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Favor be upon you. Come on, declare it this morning.
May his favor be upon you for a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children. And the children, and the children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and the children and the children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and the children. Children, may his presence go before you and behind you and beside you and around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening,
in your coming and your going.
their children, and their children, and their children. Miss Frances, goes before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is for you, he is for you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, and your going, in your weeping, and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you.
That you are for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are all around us. We thank you, Lord, that you are within us today. Hallelujah. How many of you know that the word amen means so be it? When you say amen, you are saying so be it. So when we sing, may his favor be upon you for 1,000 generations, and your family and your children and their children, and you declare amen, you are declaring so be it, so be it, in the name of Jesus. Say that, say thank you Lord. Everybody say thank you Lord, that you are with me, that you are for me, that you are around me, that you are within me. Oh, your favor, it surrounds us Lord. Your word says that your favor will surround the righteous like a shield, wrapping around us and protecting us. We thank you, Lord, for your favor. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Oh, and if God be for us, who can stand against us? What can stand against us? Can you say amen, church?
Amen.
Say, if God is for me.
If God is for me.
Come on, say, if God is for me, and he is, then say, what can stand against me? Nothing can stand against me. God is on my side. Amen. Say, greater is he who lives in me than he who is in the world. How many of you know that's what the Bible says? It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than the coronavirus that is around me. I have the greater one. I have the one who has been given the name that is above every name, that at the mighty name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Amen. That's the one who we worship today. That's the one who we exalt today. His name is Jesus, and he is for you, and he is with you, and he is around you, and he is your protector. And he is your healer, and he is your provider, and he is your deliverer, and he is everything that you need. If you believe it today, come on, give him a big hand of praise. I said, give him a big hand of praise and give him a shout today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you are for us and you are with us. Amen.
Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Ascend Church. Why don't you just turn and wave to somebody, tell them you're glad to see them. Welcome to those that are watching us on Facebook Live, watching us on our mobile app or on our website live stream. We love to have you part of this service. Sorry you can't be here right now, but we're going to have church in your home as well as church right here in this building. Amen. How's everybody doing? Good, good. Does it feel like Sunday, or I kind of don't know when I wake up. What is it today? What day is it, right? All I know is I got to cook some more and eat some more, right? And clean some more. But so good to have you in church with us today. I thank God for Governor DeSantis saying that church is an essential service. Come on, you're not telling us anything we don't know, right? We believe it. But we're glad that you're here. I pray that everyone is well and receives from the word today. Pastor Steve's been preaching me his message all week, and I believe it's going to encourage and build your faith today. But I especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting us today in church for the first time. If you've never been to a service here, I'm looking around to see maybe if there's anyone that's here for the first time. Is anyone who's here never been to our church before? God bless you. Come on, family. Let's welcome him. So glad. We've had visitors every week, and we're so glad you're here today. And our ushers are going to just hand you a visitor pack right where you are. I believe they are. There we go, Moises. So good at that. And in there is just a white card. We ask you to take a moment and fill it out. Thank you for doing that. Just drop it in the offering bucket when it comes by. But so good to see you today. I'm going to encourage you. There's four main purposes to our church. First of all, we want you to know God. That's the main thing. We want you to know God and keep knowing God more and more. Second of all, find freedom in every area of your life. Third, discover your purpose in life. And fourth, make a difference with your life. I want to make a difference. How about you? And right now, I want to just encourage you in giving. Because, you know, I know that the way that this virus has affected the world, it's not just been in a health situation, but in a financial way, in a big way. And spoiler alert, you're going to have a good message on faith today. So I just thought I'll just preempt that, and I'll talk about that concerning our finances. Because we're going to have an opportunity right now to give into the kingdom of God. And for those who are in the building, there are envelopes on your seats. There's various ways to give. It'll come up on the screen. We've got a kiosk in the lobby. For those that are watching online, you can just click Give Online. It's the way I always give, or text give. It's really simple. But I want to encourage you with the Word of God, because like I said, Pastor Steve's going to preach a message on faith today. And you say, well, why is that important when it comes to giving? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 2, it says, talking about the Israelites, it says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So God was talking to the Hebrews, they're writing about the children of Israel, where God had made them a promise. So they heard the word. They heard God say, I have given you this land. This is my blessing for your life. But the Bible says it didn't profit them at all. They didn't get what God promised. Is it because what God promised wasn't true? No, what God promised was true, but it says they did not mix their faith with what God said. So that is vitally important, even in this area of our finances. You know, sometimes people are just sitting back and waiting for God to kind of drop blessings on them from out of heaven. And then they're surprised when they don't know what's going on. Maybe it's not God's will because it didn't happen. But the Bible says it doesn't profit us if we don't mix our faith with the Word of God. Amen. So as we come to tithe and give, I just want to read one passage. You can take these many promises about financial blessing and material blessing in the Word of God. Many promises, but I want to just show you how we apply our faith to one of these. Malachi 3, verse 10.
It says this. God says, I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Talking about the tithe, the first tenth. He says, then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. Now, I ask you, just leave that scripture up there, because we want to see. So we look at that and we say, the result of tithing, God says, when you put me to the test, you take this challenge and you begin to tithe on everything you all your increase, there's a promise attached to it. And he says, the windows of heaven will be open above you, and I will flood you with blessing after blessing. So how do we apply our faith to that? First of all, we have to act like the word of God is true. Okay? Did God say it? Yes. Do we believe it? Yes, it's true. Amen. Second of all, I got to begin to, another way I act is I give like the word of God is true. Because if I want to see the result and the promise of the blessing, my life being flooded with blessings from heaven, which God says, then I've got to give with faith. I'm giving. That's part of acting in faith on the word of God. Then I've got to speak like the word of God is true. I can't go around saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Man, this week's looking worse than last week. No, there's no work. There's no, you hear people, you get in a little rut and you begin to talk. That's not speaking faith. You're not lining your words up with what God says. And if we're to act in faith, that's a part of it. Amen. And then we've got to have an expectation of financial increase, because that's what God promised. So acting in faith means we've got to act like the word of God is true. We've got to give like the word of God is true. We've got to speak like the word of God is true. And we've got to expect opportunities, supernatural opportunities, to open in front of us in spite of what we see. Amen? So that's just a little. Pastor Steve's going to preach some good faith to you today, but I want to encourage you to apply your faith. That means, you know, like, if I come and I say, I'm not sure that I have enough for the week, but I'm going to give anyway, I'm doing that in faith because I'm believing the word of God. Amen. So right now, as we prepare to give, you can just hold that in your hand. Many people have been giving online all week. And as pastors, we are so appreciative of that. For people who are not even here, but they're still giving, we really appreciate that. But we're going to pray right now. Those of you watching, you can go ahead and give. Father, I thank you for every man, every woman, every child represented here today. You know every situation, but I thank you, Father, that you are a God who has promised that as we are obedient to you, as we give, it is given back to us. You said there is a blessing attached to our obedience. And so, Father, I thank you for every person as they give today. I thank you for supernatural doors open for them. I thank you for new contracts and new business. And where things look like they've dried up, I thank you for giving them an expectation in their heart of that you are their provider despite what they see, Father. Thank you for supernatural provision upon each and every one as they give. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 I hear your voice.
Praise God. Amen. So be it, right? Thank you. Good job. Give Pastor Jill a big hand. Why don't you do that? Give her a big hand. Listen, don't let your enthusiasm wane here today. Doesn't matter to me how many people are here. What matters is be enthusiastic. Say amen. Clap your hands. Get excited. Right? We're in the house of God today. If you missed my earlier greeting, all of those who are watching us online, we want to welcome you. We're so glad that you're joining us today. You know, we're streaming on various platforms. We are streaming on our website, which is ascendchurch.us. Also, you can watch the live stream on our mobile app. We have a free mobile app that you can download in the app store. You can watch the live stream there. We also are streaming to our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel called Ascend Church, and you can watch it on YouTube. We're also streaming to Facebook. Now, the majority of people, Facebook is the most popular. Most people watch this on Facebook. So if you're watching us on Facebook, I want to ask you please to to comment. Let us know where you're watching from. Like it, share it. A great way that you can share the gospel is by simply sharing your live stream. Share this service on your Facebook. Just hit the share button and share it so that your friends can watch it as well. I mean, I think we had about 17 or 18 people that shared this last week. I'd like to have 200 people share this. I'd like this to go viral. So share it. Don't be intimidated. Be bold and share. Let people know that you're a believer, that you love Jesus. And this message I'm going to share today, I believe, is going to be a great blessing to them. So thank you for doing that. If you're here today, one thing you can do is check in. If you're on Facebook, check in. Let people know where you are. Share the service, because I believe we're going to have an awesome time today. Do you agree with that? Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word brings us faith. Your word brings us hope. Your word brings us direction. Your word is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path. Lord, I pray today that you will anoint your word, that your word will go into every heart, every person listening, that faith will rise up big within them, Lord, and that all fear and all doubt and all unbelief will be removed. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to build great, strong faith where we believe you no matter what, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. That's what I want to speak about this morning. I want to speak about great faith versus little faith. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, he said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" How many of you know that Jesus is coming back? He said he was, and I believe he is. And he said, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? I would say it this way. Will he find great faith on the earth? Will he find strong faith on the earth? Because right now, how many of you know our faith is being challenged? Right? By this coronavirus pandemic around the world. Now more than ever, it's important to keep our faith strong. This crisis is revealing the weakness of many believers' faith. I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but you know, I feel the Lord wants me to help to build your faith, because we must have great faith, not little faith. And I want to show you some examples in the Word of God of people that had great faith and people that had little faith, and show you the difference between the two. Here in Matthew chapter 8, in verse 5, it says that when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, a centurion, a Roman centurion, came to him and was pleading with him, said, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And so Jesus immediately says, "I will come and heal him." That just lets you know the heart of God. "I will come and heal him." And the centurion answered and he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Just speak the word. Just speak a word and my servant will be healed. He said, "For I also am a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this one, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when the Bible says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Jesus was amazed. And he said to all those who were following, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not in all of Israel." Only two times Jesus said, "I've not found such great faith." And this is one of them. This was to a Roman centurion. He wasn't Jewish. He wasn't a Christian. He was a Roman centurion. And Jesus said, "I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel." And then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed." As you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now, the Bible says Jesus marveled at this Roman centurion's faith, because the Roman centurion had such confidence in the word, in Jesus' word. He said, "If you just speak the word, Lord, my servant will be healed." Great faith is when you believe what God says, no matter what. A few verses later, we see an example of little faith. Same chapter, Matthew 8, verse 23. Then Jesus got in a boat and he started across the lake with his disciples. If you read the same account in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 4, it says, verse 35, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." Now, I want to add that in because I think it's important, because Jesus gets in the boat, and what was his word to them? We're going to the other side. What did Jesus say? Let's go the other side of the lake. That's the word, right? Suddenly, it says a fierce storm struck the lake and waves were breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up and they were shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. We're going to die. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? Oh, he said, you have so little faith. Why are you afraid? So fear is tied to little faith, right? Why you have so little faith? Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and he rebuked the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. Now, what was Jesus' word to the disciples? We're going go to the other side. So when the storm rose up and they were afraid, they forgot about what Jesus said. They panicked and they let fear get a hold of them. You see, you cannot be in faith and be in fear at the same time. What should the disciples have done? They should have spoken to that storm. They should have said, listen, Jesus told us to go the other side, and that's what we're going to do. Now, storm, you stop in the name of Jesus. You say, well, can you do that? Well, evidently, Jesus was kind of put out that they woke him up. He said, well, you know, why don't you do something about it? Oh, you have little faith. Another example of little faith is after Jesus had just fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he told the disciples to get back in the boat and cross to the other side, Lake Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible says Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. And in Matthew 14:25, it says about 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I like the fact that Jesus is a late night owl, not me. 3 o'clock in the morning, but Jesus is doing something a little different to what I'm doing at 3 in the morning. Jesus is walking on the water. He comes walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. It says that Jesus spoke to them, and he said, don't be afraid. Take courage, I'm here. And then Peter called to him, and he said, Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you. Walking on the water. And so what did Jesus say? Yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat, and he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he cried out. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. And what did Jesus say? You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I've spoken to some people recently, and just the mere suggestion that maybe they got little faith, they got quite upset with me. They got quite upset about it. Can you imagine being Peter and you just walked on the water? You just got out the boat and the waves are beating in the boat. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's dark. Now, I've been on the Sea of Galilee. We were there last May, and they extracted a fishing boat that's 2,000 years old. They managed to pull it up from the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. It took them 10 years to restore it. They had to put special chemicals because otherwise it would disintegrate. And they've got this intact fishing boat. It's about 15 feet long, which is very similar to the one Jesus would be in. This little tiny fishing boat, the waves are beating in it. And Peter gets out the boat and starts walking on the water. How many of you agree that takes some faith? How many of you agree that's some great faith? But the next moment, he starts to sink, and Jesus grabs him and said, oh, you of little faith. Do you know that you can have great faith one moment and little faith the next? Because what happened? Why did Jesus go from great faith to little faith? Why did Peter go from great faith to little faith? Because the Bible says when he saw the waves and when he saw the wind, he allowed himself to be distracted from Jesus. He got his eyes off Jesus. He got his eyes off Jesus' word. And he started looking at the circumstances. He started looking at the waves. He started looking at the problems. And the next thing, he started to sink. Let me tell you right now, you've got to make sure if you want to stay in great faith, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Now listen, let's not criticize Peter. I will, until you've walked on water, then we're not going to criticize Peter. He had great faith to walk on water, but the next moment he had
weak faith. Why? Because of what he saw. He took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off of the word that Jesus spoke, and he got his attention on the wind and the waves. You see, if the enemy can distract you to stop focusing on the word of God and instead get you to focus on your circumstances, on your problems, then he'll weaken your faith and he'll rob from you. Doubt will rob you of God's blessings and God's power. So I want to share with you why faith is so important. Why is this so important? Well, number one, faith is the only way that you can please God. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. In other words, the only way of pleasing God is by your faith. That's why Jesus said when he comes to the earth, will he find faith? He's looking for faith. Say the only way that I please God is by my faith. I can only please God by faith. So is faith important? It's important, right? Number two, faith is the only way that you can receive from God. In James chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given to him. It says only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, the one who doubts, the one who hesitates is like a billowing surge out at the sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind, like a wave of the sea. The person who doubts, the person who wavers, like the wave of the sea. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything that he asks for from God. What that is saying is we must not imagine, expect that we will receive anything from God without faith. Everything you will ever receive from God is by faith, starting with your salvation. For by grace you've been saved by faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Starting with salvation, everything you receive from God is going to be by faith. You cannot receive anything from the Lord without faith. We see this over and over in the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus was on the earth, we have all these amazing accounts, like in Mark chapter 5, of the woman who had received a miracle healing because of her faith. The Bible says she had continual bleeding. She had a bleeding disorder for 12 years. I mean, you talk about PMS, 12-year bleeding disorder. And the Bible says she spent all of her money on doctors, and they couldn't help her. She was getting worse. And one day she heard that Jesus was coming to town. And so what did she do? The Bible says in Mark 5:27, when she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind and touched his prayer shawl, because she kept saying to herself, if only I can touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. If only I can touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. If only I can touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. And as soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it. She could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. It says Jesus felt the power of God go out of him, and he turned around and he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, there's a huge crowd pressing up against you. How can you ask who touched you? There's a lot of people touching you. But Jesus knew that somebody had touched him with faith. And finally, the woman came forward and she told him the whole story. She told him what had happened to her. Now, you got to understand, according to Jewish law, it was illegal for her to be out in public. You talk about a lockdown. She wasn't supposed to leave the house. According to Jewish law, when women were having their menstrual cycle, they had to stay home. That's Jewish in those days. So actually, she was breaking the law by going out in a crowd of people. She wasn't allowed to do it. But that didn't stop her. And you know what? I love the fact Jesus didn't admonish her. Jesus didn't say, what are you doing outside? You're breaking the law. You better go back home. You should use wisdom. You shouldn't break the law. You know what he said? Mark 5:34, Jesus said, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Jesus said it was her faith that healed her. In Mark chapter 10, there's a blind beggar. His name was Bartimaeus, and he was sitting beside the road, and he heard Jesus is passing by. So he started shouting, Jesus, have mercy on me and heal me. Have mercy on me and heal me. Jesus, have mercy on me and heal me. And the Bible says there were many people, and they told him to be quiet, but he kept shouting even louder. And finally, Jesus heard him, and he called for him. And the Bible says Bartimaeus jumped up, and he came to Jesus in Mark 10:51. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "My rabbi, I want to see. I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Now, there's another time where a man brought his son to Jesus. It was his son. He was mute, and he had epilepsy, epileptic fits. And the man said to Jesus in Mark 9:22, "Have mercy on us and do something if you can. Do something if you can." Jesus answered him, "If I can, anything is possible if you have faith." You see, great faith makes the impossible possible. Anything is possible with faith. And the Bible says Jesus healed the man's son, but faith is the way we receive from God. That's why the Bible says that when Jesus went to his own hometown where he grew up in Nazareth, that he couldn't do any mighty miracles. Do you know there are 19 examples of Jesus healing, and 12 out of those 19 times Jesus said, "Your faith healed you." There are 19 different accounts in the Gospels of Jesus healing someone. Now, Jesus healed thousands and thousands of people, but there are 19 individual accounts. And 12 out of 19 times, Jesus said it was because of your faith. In Mark chapter 6, when Jesus returned to his hometown, the Bible says in verse 5, because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any mighty miracles, except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He couldn't do any mighty miracles in his own hometown. And the Bible says Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. Now, Jesus was amazed at the Roman centurion's great faith. And here he's amazed at his hometown, at their unbelief. How many of you, I'd rather God be amazed at my faith than amazed at my unbelief. How about you? Right? And so it says Jesus went from village to village teaching the people. Now, why couldn't Jesus do any mighty miracles in his own hometown? The Bible says because of their unbelief. You see, faith causes God's power to flow, and unbelief stops God's power from flowing. Faith is what causes God's power to flow, and unbelief and doubt and fear stop God's power from flowing. Jesus was so amazed at their unbelief. There's only those two times Jesus was amazed. One was at the great faith of the Roman centurion. The other one was at the little faith in his hometown. And I know how he feels. I'm amazed sometimes at how many people call themselves Christians, but how few actually believe the word of God. You know, the Bible says we can't receive from God without faith. Do you know that 90% of the church around the world don't believe God heals today? I would say 90% of people I talk to don't even believe God heals today. Listen, man, we got to believe. If you want to have great faith, you've got to believe what God says in his word. Amen? Number three, why is faith so important? Why is it so important, Pastor Steve? Because faith is what brings victory in your life. In 1 John 5, verse 4, it says, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." It's our faith that gives us victory over the world. In the New Living Translation, it says, "Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." Do you know how you're going to achieve victory in your life? It's through your faith. Faith is what brings victory. Say, faith brings victory. Say, faith pleases God. Say, faith receives from God. And faith brings victory. The Passion Bible says it like this: "Every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world." Do you know that your faith is a victorious power that enables you to triumph over whatever circumstance you may be facing? You cannot live in victory without faith. Number four, faith overcomes the enemy's attacks. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith." And in the Passion Bible, it says, "Fight with faith for the winner's prize." The only fight that we're engaged in is a fight of faith. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, "Always be alert, because your enemy, the devil, he roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour." The enemy is roaming around looking for whom he may devour. It says, "Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith, for you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kind of troubles you endure." In other words, the enemy tries to attack everybody, but if you will resist him with strong, vigorous faith, faith is what will give you victory over every attack of the enemy. That's why you got to understand faith, baby. We are in a fight of faith, And if you want to overcome the attack of the enemy, you got to know how to live by faith. You got to know how to walk by faith. You got to know how to believe and trust God no matter what. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Number five, it takes great faith to speak to the mountains and to make them move. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 23 from the Passion Bible, if someone says to this mountain with great faith and having no doubt, mountain be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the sea and believes what he says will happen, it will be done. If somebody has great faith and says to this mountain, be removed, it will be removed for those that have great faith. See, mountains move for people with great faith. People with little faith, they talk about their mountains, but people with great faith, they talk to their mountains. I said people with little faith, they talk about their mountains. Have you heard about my problems? Oh, have you heard about what I'm going through? Let me tell you, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. Let me tell you all, and they tell you all about the mountain, all about the problem. Listen, people with great faith, they speak to the mountain. I command sickness, you go in the name of Jesus. Instead of me coming and saying, oh, how you doing? How you doing, Steve? Oh, I tell you what, I've been so sick lately. I don't know what. My back's been hurting, and this been hurting, and my foot's been hurting, and that's been hurting. And for the next 15 minutes, I get give them a recital of everything that's wrong with me. That's talking about the mountain. Here's what faith does. Faith says, sickness, I command you to go from my body. Jesus took my sicknesses. Jesus took my diseases. By his stripes I was healed. You got no right to stay on me. And I resist you, sickness. You go in the name of Jesus. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've done that. I do it all the time. Sickness tries to come on me. I don't just say, hey, come on in. Been waiting for you. Come on in. Sickness tries to come on me. I resist in the name of Jesus with faith. Can you say amen? Number six, why is faith so important? God expects us to live by faith. There's four scriptures. This is the only thing I've ever found in the Bible where it's repeated exactly the same way four times in the Bible. In Habakkuk 2, verse 4, it says, the just shall live by his faith. In Romans 1, 17, it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The third place is in Galatians 3:11. It says, no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And then finally, in Hebrews chapter 10:35, it says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. That's the fourth time. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. There are four places in the Bible where God says the just shall live by faith. God repeats the exact same thing four times. Do you think that faith is important to God? I mean, is this important to God? Four times he tells us the just shall live by faith. That's talking about you. Say, God wants me. In fact, say it this way. Say, God expects me to live by my faith. Number seven, why is faith so important? Faith is what releases the greatness of God's power in your life. In Ephesians 1:19, it says, Paul said, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power that is made available to you through faith. He said, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power that is made available to you. How? Through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. The Bible says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, and that I release that power in my life through faith. Are you with me? In other words, the power of God is in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. The way I release that power is through my faith. Do you understand that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of you? And there is nothing too difficult, nothing impossible. But it is your faith that releases that power in your life. Amen. Thomas and Abraham are two contrasts of faith. Thomas had weak faith. Abraham had great faith. In John 20, verse 24, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, he was not with the others when Jesus came. When Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. And so they said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, he replied, I will not believe unless I see. I won't believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers in them and place my hand in the wound in his side. And so 8 days later, the Bible says, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them, and the doors were locked, but suddenly, just like before, Jesus was standing right among them. Peace be with you, he said. And he said to Thomas, Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands and put your hand into the wound in my side and don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Jesus said Thomas was faithless. Weak faith. Why did he have weak faith? Because he said, I won't believe unless I see. Now, please understand, Thomas did not remain doubting Thomas. You're not going to get to heaven today, you're not going to get to heaven one day and say, where's doubting Thomas? He's not doubting Thomas anymore. You know, some people, you make one mistake and that's it. They'll call you that the rest of your life. You mess up and that's it, man. You're a cheater, you this, you're a deceiver, you that. Thomas is no longer doubting Thomas. Do you know that Thomas was martyred? He was killed in India by Hindu priests while he was preaching the gospel. Thomas did not remain doubting Thomas. But at this moment, he had weak faith. Now let's read about Abraham's strong faith. Because in Romans chapter 4, it says, therefore, in verse 16, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. The Bible says Abraham's the father of our faith. Not just Jewish people, but everybody that have faith in God, Abraham's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. It says, let me read the Passion Bible, because it says, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise, and he expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word. Do you know why Abraham had great faith? Because he took God at his word. Thomas said, I won't believe until I see. But Abraham said, God, if you said it, that settles it. And as a result, it says he became the father of many nations. Now, the verse 19 says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. You see, you cannot have strong faith as long as you are considering and focusing on what your body is telling you, what your circumstances are telling you, what you can see, what you can feel. Abraham, didn't matter what he could feel, didn't matter how he looked. If God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, even though Abraham's 99 years old, he believed the word of God. The Bible says he didn't consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. He didn't consider the deadness of his wife Sarah's womb. He didn't consider that. In fact, the Passion Bible says, in spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong, it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. This was impossible. Abraham didn't say, Lord, this is impossible. He said, I believe the word of God. I take God at his word, and I do not consider what my own body says. I believe God above my own body. See, that's faith, family. In verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that God, what God had promised, he was able to perform. The Bible says Abraham didn't consider his body, but he was fully convinced that what God had promised that he would perform. And the Living Bible says this, when Abraham, it says Abraham never doubted, he believed God. For his faith and trust grew even stronger as he praised God for this blessing before it happened. The Bible says Abraham praised God for this blessing before it happened. He was completely sure that God was well able to do anything he promised. You see, that's faith. That's faith. When you give God praise before it happens, that's faith. Anybody can praise God after it's happened, but it takes faith to praise God before it's happened. Do you see the difference between Thomas's faith and Abraham's faith? Thomas's faith was based completely on what he saw, on what he felt. But Abraham's faith was based on what God said, regardless of what he saw and what he felt. If you want to have great faith, you got to determine that you will believe what God promises in his word, no matter what you see with your physical eyes, no matter what you feel in your body, you will believe what God says, no matter what you feel, no matter what anybody says, no matter what the news media says, no matter what CNN says, no matter what this one said, no matter what that expert said, no matter what this scientist said. I believe God, no matter what anybody says, I believe what God says. That's strong. That's great faith. Now, if you're not willing to do that, forget about having great faith. Because every time a wind arises, your faith's going to go down if you're basing it on what you see. Say amen, somebody. That's good preaching, Pastor Steve. Preach on some more. Thank you, I will. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. Say, I live by faith, not by what I see with my eyes. You see, to have great faith, you've got to be willing to leave the realm of your senses. That's what Abraham did. You've got to be willing to ignore what your senses are telling you. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, we do not look at the things that we can see. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are just temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, the things you see, they're just temporary. Someone said to me, the coronavirus is going to change the whole world. People are not going to go to church anymore. They're going to start watching online. Give me a break. We're going to get over this, and we're going to be stronger before. The church is going to grow greater than ever before. There's going to be a greater revival than ever before. Let me tell you, God's going to take what the enemy meant for our harm and turn it around to our benefit. God's good at doing that, man. That's his speciality. The Bible says if the demons knew what Jesus was going to accomplish, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They would have never done it. Let me tell you, if the devil knew what's going to happen because of what he's done, he would never have tried it, because I believe this is going to be the greatest hour. I believe we're going to see a greater revival. I believe the church is going to be on fire. I believe we're going to go and win souls, and I believe church is going to be busting at the seams, and I believe people are going to appreciate their freedom, and we're going to be more committed than ever before. Do you believe that too? The Bible says, I want to read that from the New Living. It says, don't look at the things which you can see. But the New Living Bible says, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that we cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. Let me tell you, great faith is not moved by what it sees. It's not moved by what it feels. Great faith keeps on believing God's word, in spite of how things look, in spite of how things feel. And the good news is you can build great faith. You can develop great faith. I want to tell you today how to build great faith. Every single born-again believer, you have God's faith. Do you know that? Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. In other words, the faith that you have to be saved with, God gave it to you. And you cannot be saved without faith. So if you are saved, let me see your hand. If you're saved, if you know Jesus, lift your hand if you believe in him. If you've confessed him as Lord, then you're saved. You know what that means? You've got faith. Because you can't be saved without faith. Romans 12 verse 3 says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God dealt to you the measure of faith. That means God gave you the measure of faith. You received it when you heard the gospel about Jesus. And when you received Jesus in your heart, God dealt to you the measure of faith. The Bible says Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Passion Bible says, Jesus, who births faith within us and leads us forward into faith's perfection. Let me tell you right now, you have faith. God deposited his faith on the inside of you. But here's the key. Your faith can grow and your faith can be developed. It's just like when you were born, we were all born with the same muscles. All things being equal, we're all born with the same. We all got the same potential, really. You can develop your muscles like me and look like me. Many, many hours of working out every day. I'm a gym maniac. No, you can develop. I'm joking. You can develop. I did 25 push-ups yesterday. I'm going 25, and tomorrow I'm going to do 30, and I'm going to get up to one. I used to be able to do 100 one time when I was in the army. So I'm getting back. I want to do 100 in one go. So every day I'm going up 5. But anyway, this getting me distracted now. What I'm trying to say, how many of you know you can build and develop your body? One person. Well, let me tell you can build and develop your faith. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, because your faith grows exceedingly. Do you know that your faith can grow? When you see someone who's got great faith, they develop their faith. Amen? How does your faith grow? How do you develop great faith? I'm going to give you 7 things real fast. Are you ready for this? Well, maybe not as fast as I may think, but I'm going to give you 7 ways to develop great faith. This is what changed my life. Number one, if you want to develop great faith, number one, you must continually feed on the Word of God. Continually feed on the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does faith come? By hearing the Word of God. You know, today, as you're listening to me, speaking the Word of God to you, your faith's growing. Your faith's being strengthened. Faith comes by what you listen to. And if you just listen to the news media of reports about the coronavirus, if you sit and you watch that hour after hour, let me tell you, your faith will get weaker and weaker and weaker, and your fear will go up and up and up. But the more you listen to the Word of God, the more your faith will grow. The more you hear God's Word, the more your faith will grow. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, the Scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus said, we don't just live on physical food, on bread, but we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why, as far as I'm concerned, this service is an essential service. It's as essential as Publix or Walmart or any of those things, because you can't live on bread alone. Jesus said you've got to live by the Word of God. Our physical body was not made to live on one meal a week. How many of you just eat once a week? All your hands, raise your hand up high if you only eat one time a week. Let me see your hand. Not a single one of you. Do you know your spirit is the same? Do you know, just like your physical strength will dwindle, do you know your spiritual strength will dwindle when a trial comes? Weak faith will do you no good when a trial comes. You need a strong spirit to respond with boldness and great faith-filled power. Amen? That's why it's important to keep feeding on the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 18, it says, they've left the path of truth, preaching the lie that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. And they have weakened the faith of some who believe them. Do you know your faith can be weakened if you listen to the wrong people? You listen to the wrong people, you can end up with weak faith, negative, defeated, depressed, if you listen to the wrong people. You want to listen to people that are saying that believe God and say the same things that God says. Because your faith can be weakened or strengthened depending on what you listen to. The Word of God is faith food for your spirit. It helps keep your faith strong and ready for anything. I mean, you could read Romans 10:17 like this. Faith comes by feeding and feeding and feeding on the Word of God. Faith comes by feeding and feeding and feeding on the Word of God. The more you feed on the Word of God, the greater your faith is going to be. God's Word is as necessary to your life as physical food. When you continually feed on the Word of God, you are depositing into your spirit, and it builds a reserve within you. You can't wait until a crisis comes and then try and develop your faith. That's like putting up a tent in the middle of a hurricane. You need a fresh supply of faith so it'll be on the tip of your tongue and you won't hesitate. You'll boldly speak over your situation and you will be confident that it is handled in the name of Jesus. Number two, build strong faith. Number one, continually feed on the Word of God. Number two, make God's Word the final authority in your life. Make God's Word the final authority in your life. In Psalm 119, verse 89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And Jesus said this in Matthew 24:35. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Let me tell you, it's easy to run to the world when a problem arises, when you feel a symptom in your body. The first thing you might think of is going to the doctor or jump on the internet and research it until you're so scared silly. But let me tell you, that's not God's way. There's a place for medical care, but we cannot receive into our spirit everything that is spoken over us. when you're facing a situation in your health or in your finances or in a relationship or in a work situation, you need to ask yourself one thing. Do you want to know what the one thing is? What's the one thing that you should ask yourself when you face a problem? Here's what you ask yourself. What does God's word say about my situation? And then say, that's the final word. What does God's word say? That's the final word. Okay, so let me ask you. What does God's word say about sickness? Exodus 15, 26. I am the Lord who heals you. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Psalm 91, verse 2. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust in him. He will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. Jeremiah 30, verse 17, I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Matthew 8, 17, he took our sickness and he removed our diseases. 1 Peter 2, 24, by his wounds you have been healed. Mark 16, verse 17, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. James 5, verse 14, is there any sick among you? Then ask the elders of the church to come and pray over the sick and anoint him with oil in the name of our Lord. And it says the prayer of faith will heal the sick and the Lord will raise him up. That's what the word of God says about sickness. And as far as I'm concerned, that is my final authority. He took my sickness. Jesus, by his stripes, I'm healed. The Lord is my healer. The Lord restores my health. The Lord keeps me healthy. That, as far as I'm concerned, that settles it. Someone said, what do you think about the coronavirus? I'll tell you what you think. I'll tell you what I think. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. He took the coronavirus on my behalf. He took my diseases. And the Lord is my protector, my refuge. And no sickness will come near me. That's what I believe. That settles it for me. You can believe whatever you want. That's what I'm going to believe. And that's what I'm going to stick to. Here's my question. Will you make God's word the final authority in your life? Give God's word first place in your life. Because let me tell you, that means that you go to the word of God in any situation, no matter what circumstance you face, you ask yourself, what does God's word say? Because that's what I'm going to believe. Before I believe what my friends say, before I believe what my family says, before I believe what the internet says, I'm telling you, the word of God is the last word in any situation. If you want to develop great faith in God, you can't operate like the world operates. You can't even operate like most Christians operate. Most Christians do not have great faith. That may be a surprise to many. Most Christians do not have great faith because they are moved by every little wind that comes along. Just look around. But the stronger you build your faith, the more you are able to face down anything and subdue it, you take the scriptures, you stand on the scriptures, and you refuse to be moved. That's faith. Number three, are you getting anything out of this today? Because I'm preaching myself happy here. Number three, if you want to build great faith, feed on the word of God, make the word of God final authority in your life. Number three, meditate on the word of God. God told Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, for that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now you may say, Pastor Steve, what's the difference between feeding on the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God? Well, feeding on the Word of God is when you listen to the Word of God, you read the Word of God, you listen to, you know, preachings, you listen to sermons, and you learn what God has to say. Meditating is when you spend time thinking about God's Word and applying it to your situation. You meditate, you think about, you ponder it over, what the Word of God says. You see, faith begins where the will of God is known. And you can't have faith in the Word of God if you don't know what God's Word says. The reason why some people don't have great faith is because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. A lot of Christians, they don't know the Word of God. They don't hear the Word. A lot of Christians go to church and they don't even hear God's Word at church. Why? Because they hear a bunch of tradition, and this is what we believe, and this is why our church believes. They hear a bunch of church doctrine. Listen, I want to hear the Word of God. When I go to church, I want you to tell me, this is what the Bible. I'm not interested in what you think. I don't give two hoots what you think. And you shouldn't give two hoots what I think. What does it matter what I think? What matters is what does the Word of God say? When you come to this church, I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says, and I'm going to encourage you to believe that. Can you say amen, somebody? Once you know the will of God, once you've spent time meditating in the Word of God, you can apply it by taking authority over your life, applying the Word of God to your situation. It'll become like second nature. Let me tell you, when you have immersed yourself in faith, because the best way to learn faith is the same way to learn a foreign language, total immersion. When you immerse yourself in an atmosphere of faith and you let it be the only language you speak, it'll be your first line of defense in any situation. Number four, to build great faith, you use your faith. You build great faith. You've got to use your faith by acting on the Word. If you want to build great faith, you've got to use your faith by acting on the Word. Every time you act on the Word of God, you're using your faith. In James 1:22, it says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Be doers of the Word. Say, I'm a doer of the Word. Everybody, say, I'm a doer of the Word. I'm not just a hearer of the Word. The Bible says the person who hears God's Word but doesn't do it is deceiving themselves. They're deceiving themselves, self-deceived, because they think that, your life does not change by hearing the Word of God. It changes when you hear and you do the Word of God. That's what changes your life. You can come sit here every Sunday. Every Sunday you can come sit here. Yeah, that's good, that's good. If you don't do any of it, not going to change your life at all. James 2:17 says, faith that doesn't involve action is phony. Some people got phony faith because they don't do what they say they believe. James 2:26, faith without actions is dead. Let me tell you, first, you got to know what the Bible says, know what the Word of God says. Then you got to meditate on what God says, apply it to your own situation. Then you act on it by putting your faith on the line. You see, faith comes by hearing God's Word. But if you don't put any action to what you heard, it's not going to benefit you at all. You heard Pastor Jill in the offering today. It says the children of Israel, it says they heard God's Word, but it didn't benefit them because they didn't put any faith to it. You can listen to Pastor Jill every week teach about tithing, teach about giving. But it'll only work for you if you do it. And let me tell you, when you do it, it works. I've been doing it. I've been putting it into practice since I was 17 years old. About 20 years now. Another way that you can use your faith and act on God's Word is by speaking your faith. Do you know that faith grows when God's Word becomes a vital part of your daily speech? Another way to use your faith and act on God's Word is by speaking it. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the Scriptures when it says, first I believed and then I spoke in faith. We also first believe. And then we speak in faith. You see, you got to believe what God says, but then you've got to say it. Because when you say it, that's using your faith. That's putting action to your faith. Romans 10, verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto. With the heart I believe, with my mouth confession is made unto. In other words, you can believe God's word in your heart, but it will not become a reality until you begin to say what you believe. Are you with me? You can sit here and say, Pastor Steve, I believe, I agree, Jesus, by his stripes I'm healed, he took my sin, I agree. But you've got to say it. That's how you put your faith to it. That's how you use your faith. Lord, thank you that by your wounds and stripes I was healed. Thank you, Jesus, you took my sickness, you took my diseases away. That's using your faith when you speak it. See, that's how we all got saved. Is because we believed in our heart that Jesus rose from the dead and confessed with our mouth that he's Lord. And that's the same way we continue in our walk with God. It, to use our faith is by speaking what we believe, saying what God says. If your mouth will feed your heart faith when you don't need it, then your heart will feed your mouth faith when you do need it. Did you hear that? I don't think so. If your mouth will feed your heart faith when you don't need it, then your heart will feed your mouth faith when you do need it. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Another way we act on the Word of God is by taking dominion. In the beginning, when God created the world, he gave us dominion over the earth and everything that is on the earth. Jesus' victory over the enemy gives you authority and dominion over all the works of the enemy. What does it mean to take dominion? If something gets out of line in your life, you've got to put it back into line. Don't let your body or your finances tell you what to do. If they get out of line, you take authority. You put things back where they're supposed to be. The devil doesn't control you. You are to be led by the Spirit of God and filled with the life of God and speaking the Word of God and resisting the devil when he comes to try and attack you. He comes to try and steal from you. He comes to try and discourage you. You resist him in the name of Jesus, vigorous in your faith, and you take authority over your circumstance. You say, no, I will not allow sickness in my home. I resist you in the name. I will not allow lack. I will not receive poverty. I resist lack. Thank you, my God supplies all my needs. That's using faith. That's how you use faith. Amen? Faith grows the more you use it. You've got to think of your faith like a muscle. In order to build your muscles, you've got to feed them, right? And you've got to exercise. Am I right? The more you exercise your muscles, the more they grow. Is that true? It's the same with your faith. If you never use your faith to believe God, it's not going to be strong when you need it. You've got to, the more you use your faith to trust God, the stronger it will be. Otherwise, every time a virus comes around, every time a problem comes around, you're going to be paralyzed. No, the more you use your faith, the stronger it will be. Number five, you want to build strong faith? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. The Bible says in Jude verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, it is no secret that praying in tongues will build up your faith. It's a powerful weapon that God has given to us, family. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul the Apostle, he talks about the spiritual warfare that we are in and putting on all the armor of God and the weapons that we've been given so that we can overcome every attack of the enemy. He says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against demonic spirits in heavenly places. And he says, put on the breastplate, the body armor of righteousness. Put on the belt of truth. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit to stop all the fiery arrows and attacks of the enemy. The sword of the Spirit, that's the Word of God. And then it says in verse 18, the same chapter, put on all this armor. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times. And on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray in the Spirit at all times. When it talks about the weapons you've been given, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the gospel shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and then pray in the Spirit. Praying in tongues is a mighty weapon that God has given us to build our faith and overcome the attacks of the enemy. Number six, if you want to build strong faith, continually give God praise. Continually give God praise. Great faith worships before it sees the victory. In Matthew chapter 15, it says Jesus left Galilee and he walked 50 miles. I wanted to throw that in there. Jesus was kind of casual. Jesus left Galilee and walked 50 miles north to Tyre and Sidon. 50 miles. We walked 2 miles around the neighborhood the other night. I was like, wow, I was tired, right? 2 miles. 50 miles Jesus went. And it says a Canaanite woman who lived there came pleading to him, she said, have mercy on me. She was a Canaanite woman. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. And Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. And then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away. She's bothering us with all her begging. Do you know that begging doesn't get God's attention? You can beg God as much as you want. It doesn't get his attention. You know what gets his attention? Faith. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was only sent to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But then it says, verse 25, then she came and she worshipped him. Lord, help me. She came and worshipped him. Lord, help me. Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Dear woman, Jesus said, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. Now, here's what I want you to see, how she changed her approach. She started out begging God. That's not faith. Then she switched to worship. And Jesus called that great faith. And she received a miracle. Do you know that if you want to build great faith, you got to give God praise before you see the answer? That's what Abraham did. In Romans 4:20, it says, Abraham never doubted. He believed God, for his faith and his trust grew ever stronger. And he praised God for this blessing before it happened. You know why Abraham's faith kept getting stronger, even though what God told him was impossible? Was because Abraham kept praising God before it happened. He didn't consider his body. He was fully convinced that he took God at his word. He believed God was able to do what he said. God was able to fulfill his word, and he just kept thanking and praising God. Let me tell you, praise and thanksgiving is what you do between the time you say amen and the time you see that there it is, the answer to your prayer. Praise is what strengthens your faith. Praise is our affirmation that we believe we have received what we believe for. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I believe I have it now in the name of Jesus. That's faith, family. See, little faith says, maybe it'll happen for me someday. But great faith says, if God's word says it, then I believe it. It is so, that settles it. Great faith says, I take it now. I have it now. And when you believe you have it now, you thank God and you praise God. Most Christians wait until the answer. They wait until the answer to their prayer, until it's manifested and they can see it before they give God any thanks and praise. Let me tell you, when you believe that you have received, then you begin to thank God and praise God for the answer. You thank God that it is already done before you even see it. That's great faith. That's uncommon faith. And it's time for us to live with great uncommon faith in Jesus' name. And I think it's my last point. I hope it is. Number 7. Do not waver. If you want to build great faith, do not waver. Do not waver. We saw in James chapter 1 that someone who wavers in their faith, the Bible says they cannot expect that they will receive anything from God. Cannot waver. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. If you want to operate in great faith, you can't be moved by what you see. You can't be moved by what you feel. Instead, you hold fast. You stand upon the word of God. You keep believing what God said. Paul said in Acts 20:22, he said, now see, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Paul says, I'm not sure what's going to happen when I get to Jerusalem. All I know is that everywhere I go, I'm getting prophecies that chains and tribulation await me. Now notice verse 24. Notice verse 24. Notice Paul's attitude. But none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, I don't know what's waiting for me, but I tell you what, none of these things move me. Paul would not be moved. If you want to develop great faith, you cannot be moved by your circumstances. You cannot be moved by what you see. You've got to keep holding fast. If God said it, that's the final word that settles it. I believe it. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to talk. I'm going to say what God said. Amen. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Notice verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Notice verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, I thought it was very interesting that in the same three verses that it talks about holding fast to your confession of faith and not wavering, it talks about not neglecting the assembling of the saints, but coming together even more as we see Jesus' day. How many of you know that we're closer to the return of Jesus than we were last week? How many of you know we're closer to the return of Jesus than we were last month? The Bible says the closer we get, we should be assembling more and encouraging each other more. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, You can't go lay hands on people and you can't go pray for them because of the coronavirus. You've got to use wisdom. Oh, man, how many times have I been told you've got to use wisdom? Yeah, but whose wisdom? Your wisdom or God's wisdom? Whose wisdom are we talking about here? You've got to use wisdom, Pastor Steve. Where's your mask, Pastor Steve? Put on a mask. Stay 10 feet away. You can't pray for people. You've got to wait for the pandemic to go. Then carry on praying for people. Yeah, I really believe God's word, don't I? I'm only going to pray for you. Can you imagine me getting out my rubber gloves? And come on, you want prayer? Come up, get me my rubber gloves. Get me my mask. No, man. Let me tell you, a virus touches my hand, I believe it dies in the name of Jesus. I believe God. That's what I believe. You don't have to believe it. I believe God protects me. I walk into hospitals all the time. All kinds of things floating around there. I believe God protects me. I've walked in divine health for the last 40-something years. I believe God's word no matter what. I'd rather die believing God than live doubting him. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 5. Listen to this, and I'll close with this. And someone said, praise the Lord. I preached a long time today, didn't I? I'm giving you your money's worth. I'm not shortchanging you here. 1 Corinthians, let me tell you, my week hasn't changed. I do the same thing I always did. I get up and I pray and I prepare my sermon the whole week. First, that's what I do. The only thing that's different, I can't go to restaurants now. I can't go to the gym anymore. But otherwise, I'm at home all day anyway. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 5 says this. Paul said that your faith should not be on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Passion Bible says God intended that your faith should not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in his almighty power. I would rather trust in God's almighty power than follow man's wisdom. That's just me. Let's develop faith in God's mighty power. If you will feed and meditate on God's word and make God's word final authority and make it first place in your life, if you will use your faith by speaking it out, by acting on God's word, praying in the Spirit, giving him praise, then you will develop great faith. I want to encourage you, stop living in the land of average and come over into the land of extraordinary. It is the will of God for your life. Amen. I want to tell you just quick as I close how I built my faith. I received Jesus in my life when I was 16 years old. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. When I was 16, my mother dragged me to church, almost. And I gave my life to Christ. I received Jesus in my life. And I'm so thankful that the Lord led me to Christian Family Church in Johannesburg, South Africa. Pastor Theo and Beverly Womerantz were the pastors. Pastor Theo taught me about faith. I learned so much from the Word of God from Pastor Theo. He also introduced me to other preachers like Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and Fred Price and different people that preached on faith. And I started buying cassette tapes. Do you remember the days of cassette tapes? And I had a little Walkman. Anyone own a Walkman? Little Walkman, headphones, put the tape in. And I would take that everywhere with me. I would, any money I had, I'd buy teaching tapes. I'd buy Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin. And I'd go to the gym and I'd be listening to preacher. I'd be in church. I'd be listening to the Word of God while I'm doing my exercise. I did this all the time. On my birthday, I'd ask, buy me teaching tapes. For Christmas, I want this new set of teaching tapes by Kenneth Copeland. That's what I want for Christmas. My family thought I was nuts. We went to Disney World when I was 17 in 1980, Disneyland, 82. I was just 17. And they were over in Disneyland. I was over at Kenneth Copeland's Anaheim Convention across the street all day. They were like, we're in Disneyland. I just wanted to hear the Word of God. I just couldn't get enough of it. I was obsessed with God's word. I listened to it over and over and over. When I was 20 years old, I started working for Pastor Theo at Christian Family Church. And Pastor Theo and his wife went over. They went away for a month. They were ministering. And they asked us to come stay in their house and take care of their kids because we had two little girls, Robin and Nadine, are the same ages as their kids. So we moved in their house and looked after their kids while they were gone. And Pastor Theo, in his study, he had 4,000 teaching tapes that he'd been given. People were giving him. I was so jealous. He'd go to church, and they'd give him all these tapes. So I said to him, while you're gone, do you mind if I make copies just for me? No resale, just for me. So he said, yes. I spent the whole next month. I got a tape duplicator, and I duplicated all 4,000 of his. I thought I was in heaven, I'll tell you right now. And I made all these copies, and I had a carpenter make shelves in my garage. They were shelves that just fitted a tape. And my whole garage was just covered with teaching tapes. That's all I did. That's how I built my faith. I would devour them. I would listen. I didn't just listen to God's word once a week. I listened to it every day. And everything I learned, heard, I would try and apply it. I'd do it. I'd put action to it. That's how I built my faith. Some people say, Pastor Steve, you just got strong faith. I built strong faith. It took me years. It took me hours and hours. I put the Word of God in me. So when a problem comes, when I face a problem, God's Word comes out of me. And you can build your faith too. You can have great faith if you will practice these 7 things. Feed on the Word of God continually. Make it first place, final authority in your life. Meditate on the Word of God. Use your faith. Pray in the Spirit. Don't waver. Give God praise. And you will have great faith. And it will give you victory no matter what you face in your life. Can you say amen? Did you get something out of it? Will you give God some praise today? Are you glad you came today? I want you to bow your head for a moment. I want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for every person here today. And I thank you for every person who's watching this today. And I want to just say this to you. If you are not sure of what would happen to you if you died today, if you are not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure, if all is right between you and the Lord, listen, I've got good news for you. You can be sure. You can know that you know that all is right with you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven and it's washed away. You can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the only way to God. It's the only way to heaven. It's the only way to be saved is by believing Jesus died on that cross for you, rose again, and confessing him as Lord. And if you've never received and confessed Jesus as Lord in your life, I want to really encourage you to do that today. I did this when I was 16 years old and my whole life changed. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. Pray for me, I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. Pray for me. If that's you and you're here today and you want to be included in this prayer, I want to ask you quickly just to lift your hand up right now, just to lift your hand up high. Say, here, pray for me. Thank you. I want everyone to say this prayer. If you're watching this, say this prayer. Everyone here in the building, say this prayer, please, with me today. Say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin, my punishment. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I will confess he is my Lord, you said I will be saved. Come on, say that. Say, I thank you, Lord, that you are alive. I ask you, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, save me today. I call upon you. I confess you, Lord of my life. Say this. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. Heaven is now my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus up from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. You've done that. I believe you are saved. I believe right now your life has changed. You're born again. This is a brand new chapter in your life. I want to encourage you to follow the Lord. Start going to church. Start reading your Bible. God has a wonderful purpose and plan for your life. Amen, everybody. Well, listen, I'm so glad that you were here today. I just can't wait for everyone to get back to church. I can't wait to see you all. We miss you. We can't wait to all be together. Let me tell you, when we all get back together, we're going to have a big celebration, I believe. But I just can't wait to see you. We love you. I want you to know that I pray for you, Jill and I. We pray for you every day. And we trust in God with you and for you, for his protection, his provision, his blessing. Amen. God bless you, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a great, great week. We'll see you next time. Bye for now. Thank you, Rick.